Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. Taking you up till 12 noon. Nick Ashew, Mr. Hollywood, takes over next right here on The Fan. This is the power hour of AWOD Radio. Want to get a bunch of phone calls in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. 1-800-636-1067. What are you most concerned about right now with the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067. Or tweet us your thoughts. Brian tweets me, AWOD, I feel like the Commanders have the best defensive back room they've had in a very long time. When healthy, you have more depth there. Well, I mean, it does feel like it's much better than last season for sure. I thought that Rasul Douglas looked really good. Mikey Sanders still, I'm not concerned, but I'm wondering really what his role is on this team. Is he more outside or is he more inside? It feels like I've seen him doing both. I do really like the dynamic of Sanders still and Amik Robertson. I mean, those two guys play like they have a chip on their shoulder, and now you bring back Fabian Monroe. I feel a lot better about the safety room than I do that of the cornerback room for the Commanders. What are you most concerned about right now? Let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Ed in D.C. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I don't know what that last caller was talking about, but listen, I think we're going to come out this year and really surprise a lot of people. I'm slightly concerned about the O-line. You know, as far as injuries and having depth, that's my biggest concern. And, you know, of course, you got to support Jaden. Outside of that, I think the receivers and the DBs, you know, they're going to complement and learn from one another and also help the young guys that's in the room to be able to help us, you know, in the future. But, you know, it's a lot of people out there I feel like are going to sleep on us, but I think we're really going to – I'm not saying, you know, of course, go to the show, but definitely be a contender out there this year.
Ed, let me ask you a question, because there's a lot of talk about the defensive side of the ball. Are you concerned about the secondary?
Not at all. You know, like you said, we got Mikey there, we got Trey. Not really concerned about, or not really sure about whether, you know, what roles they'll have, you know, outside of slot. But, you know, you did the interviews with, you know, both the safeties and, you know, our linebacker core. I'm not concerned at all. I think we'll do excellent.
Good call, Ed. I appreciate you chiming in. And let's focus in on Sonny Styles for a second and what kind of impact he could make as a rookie. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I mean, Sonny Styles comes into Washington, and it's a linebacker room that is stronger than it was last season, even though you had Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, but I really think it's stronger with the speed that you add in Sonny Styles, in Leo Chenal, and with Frankie Louvu coming back this season. So, Ed, good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. So with this linebacker room in Washington, I do envision Frankie Louvu with the veteran experience that he brings. And, you know, we had a chance to talk to Frankie Louvu last week, and I got a sense that Frankie Louvu wants to step up this year in terms of leadership, in terms of his role on the defense, in terms of tackles, you know, everything that he wants to take everything he did last year and start over and be more of the 2024 version, and this year stepping into a more of a leadership role with Bobby Wagner gone. I kind of wonder, how much longer Frankie Luvu can have that role, though, right? Because it does feel like Sonny Styles is breathing down his neck, and then Leo Chenal is going to push him as well. But that's a good problem for Jurante Jones to have, right? So Frankie Luvu starts as the green dot, and then eventually they work Sonny Styles into there, and then eventually Leo Chenal, and maybe Frankie Luvu takes a slight step back to more of just a blitzing linebacker role for Washington to use him as this year. But we just don't know how it's going to play out. Maybe Frankie Luvu plays with his hair on fire all season long, and he's able to hold off Leo Chenal and kind of hold Sonny Styles off a little bit as, hey, I'm going to lead this team as the green dot. It's a good problem to have. It's a good problem for Jurante Jones to deal with this year. I think the speed, though, of Sonny Styles to go left and right, and man, I mean, it felt like there was no hole in a running play in which he didn't find. And so I think that's going to be very exciting for Commanders fans to see this season. It's just, again, offensively and defensively, I think you have to credit Adam Peters. There's much more competition. We are deeper at almost every position. I think we are stronger as well, as this is going to be an offense that fits what David Blau wants to run, a defense that fits what Jurante Jones wants to done. It does feel like they were very strategic with who they went after this offseason. Not just guys that are going to fit the culture, but going to fit the schemes that they want to run. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. We've got Teresa in Alexandria. What's up? You're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to know, how do you think Jaden Daniels will do this season due to all the injuries he has had?
I think he's going to be very good. So here's my thought about Jaden Daniels and this offense. This offense, I think, will protect him more than the last offense. And if he runs the offense in the timing that David Blau is asking him to run it, it will protect him and he will be able to stay healthy. I do think you're going to be hoping that he will do less of the home run, less of the Superman-type plays this season with an improved running game, with a better weapon at tight end than Zach Ertz, who just wasn't able to get many yards after catch. And so a Jaden Daniels, what I want to see this year is quick passes, completion percentage back up to where it was as a rookie, and get the ball out of your hands and let other guys make a play. Every once in a while, you know, step up and either run or try to make the big play downfield. But I think for what I'm looking for Jaden Daniels this year is to be more of a game manager. And that sounds kind of crazy to say for a guy that was like an MVP, but just manage the game and pick and choose your spots. Whereas last year, I felt like from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, he was trying to do everything.
Thank you, AWOL.
Yeah. Thanks for chiming
Thank
in.
You.
Good to hear
Bye-bye.
From you. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Doug in Potomac. Doug, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. So, look, I love the hope and hype before the season. I think the team still has three big question marks at running back, offensive line, and DB.
Let's start with running back. Why are you so concerned with running back?
Well, I mean, who proved last year that they were a NFL starting running back?
I mean, 800 yards from Bill is pretty good, dude.
Yeah, 800 yards. But is he a three-down running back? And he might be. I mean, and this is why, AWOD, I'm saying it's a little bit of a question mark. We don't know what we have there. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you a question, and I'll drop. We don't hear a lot about Josh Connerly. He was a first-round draft pick, a lot of hype around him. I'm really curious to hear from you. What are you hearing about how he's doing in camp? I mean, we need this guy. We need to hit with this guy. And I'm just I just haven't heard a lot about how he's doing, how he's progressing. Thank you.
Yeah, no, good call. I appreciate you chiming in. And I do think with the offensive line, at times it's better to not hear things than to hear things, right? I mean, you don't want to hear Josh Connerly's getting burnt. Josh Connerly can't stay in front of this guy. We're not hearing much because I think he's playing his part and doing what he's supposed to do. From the conversations that I had with reporters on site at training camp and even talking to offensive linemen, I talked to Julian Good-Jones and Brandon Coleman, I think Josh Connerly is developing and going to be a good piece on the offensive line. I do think it's all about communication and having consistency with the center, the guard, and him at right tackle. You know, last year, I think it hurt him that Sam Cosmi wasn't out there. And then when he was out there, he wasn't the same version of Sam Cosmi. And we changed, you know, at center with Tyler Beata. So O-line is definitely a bit of a concern for me, more the center position than right tackle Josh Connerly. And so I think, you know, no news is good news kind of for Josh Connerly. If he was struggling this year, I do think you'd hear more reports about that rather than what you're not really hearing much. And I think that's good news. And back to the running game for a second, like, do we believe that Bill is a starting running back in the National Football League? Well, I've been telling myself, you cannot call him a seventh-round pick anymore, because most seventh-round picks don't play 17 games, run for 805 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Most seventh-round picks, you know, were seventh-round picks because they struggled at times in college, not a guy that didn't play more than a game his final season. So, you know, because of that, he would have probably been like a third or fourth round pick in my mind. Drops to seventh round. Can't call him a seventh round pick anymore because he's played a full year, ran for 805 yards and 8 touchdowns. And he showed a lot with his speed to hit the outside. He struggled to hold on to the ball. The fumbling became an issue, 3 fumbles last year, and that hurt his confidence. And I think we're seeing a more confident Ja'Cory Kraski-Merritt, Bill. We're seeing a bigger, I mean, the biceps look bigger, the legs, the muscles look more defined this season. And the big thing is, can he be the every down back? What did he need to add to his game? The ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, the coaching staff having confidence that he'll catch the ball out of the backfield. And I think Rashad White's going to push him also. So I'm actually, like, I'm not concerned about running back. I think it could be a big strength of the team this year. Because, as I said, Rashad White has proven he can catch the ball out of the backfield and give you like 300 yards at that position. He's done it throughout his career with Tampa Bay. And remember, there were two guys that were very vocal this offseason saying, we want to play for Jaden Daniels, right? We want to team up with our Arizona State Sun Devil buddy, Jaden Daniels. One of them had a ton of drama. One of them has quietly just gotten to work and made an impact, and that's Rashad White, right? And we didn't need to add that guy from San Francisco. We got Stephon Diggs. But how funny is that? Two guys made it very vocal that they want to play with Jaden Daniels. One of them's just quietly gotten to work, and that's Rashad White, and he's impressed a lot of the reporters that have been out there at training camp. More of your phone calls next on The Fan.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. It appears that training camp practice day 8 has wrapped up in Ashburn. We're going to try to peek in on the Commanders' post-practice press conference in a little bit. But right now, phone lines are open. We've got loaded lines here, 1-800-636-1067. You could tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. What are your biggest concerns right now for the Washington Commanders? Let's go to Steve in Columbia. Steve, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
How you doing, AWOD?
What's up, man?
You've had some interesting callers, but everyone is entitled to their opinion. As far as the running backs, that is the least of my concerns. And what Bill did last year coming in and, you know, being kind of raw, and I think he's going to show that he can take care of being a number one back along with Rashad White. But the O-line is my concern, and you made a good point. You know, we're not hearing Connerly's name. That's a good thing. But I am concerned about that center position. It's going to be crucial in the first couple games that we have. So hopefully Allegretti will get better. But my concern, even if he does get better, is with that type of injury, it could kind of flare up to other things, but hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah, no, good call, Steve. And here's the other thing. If you have something else to say, I'd love to get that in. But here's the thing about Allegretti right now is it's still early. Give him the full – like, I was a little upset that we didn't get the good update today, and they said they would reevaluate next week. But I'm starting to be more positive on that, because when he comes back, I want him to be fully healthy, and it's not going to flare up again. So take your time.
Right. The other thing I would just say is the thing about the Biotis, hopefully I'm saying his name right, of getting rid of him was that, yeah, he did get pushed back a lot, I noticed, especially in those NFC East games. But I would have gotten something for him. I don't understand why they didn't try to get something for him, a late-round draft pick, something.
Yeah.
But
I understand that. And they tried to – it seems to be that they report – from reports, they tried to get Lindenbaum, right? They tried to get the most expensive center that was available, kind of was a swing and a miss. And to be honest, there was kind of a few swing and misses this year. Like, they wanted Dobbs, they wanted Pierce. But I'm okay with it because I do think they were smart with the moves they made, and I love that Diggs is in now. Like that,
oh, yeah.
That just got
you,
me fired
I told
up.
I told you last week we needed Diggs, and we were going to get him. I told you. All right, man.
See you, man. All right, let's go to Spider John in Richmond. Spider John on line 5. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, fine. Hey, Wad. Good to hear from you always, and we appreciate the information. It's so much fun to listen to what's going on up there, and you're kind of our conduit to understanding how the team's doing and what's happening up there in D.C. Remember this time last week, all the calls were about wide receiver 2.
Yep.
And instead of waiting around for somebody to reach level 2, we found our level 2, and that is just going to make so much difference this year. In addition to him being a great player, I think it keeps our quarterback healthy because he's going to be able to get rid of the ball a lot quicker. It's going to make our offensive line more effective because they're not going to block as long because we've got so many weapons out there. And, I'm real excited about our tight ends. I really feel like we've improved there, and Jaden's going to be able to use that quite a bit to his ability. So real excited about that.
Absolutely, Spider John.
I think the national market, I love the fact that they're not talking about us at all. They're not putting us in a top 10, even a top 15 position. We're going to surprise a lot of people this year, and it's going to be exciting and fun to watch. And I also, I just wanted to encourage people to come to the AWOD Festival on the 29th. I've been to each one of them. They're a lot of fun. They're very informative. The food is great. You meet all kinds of cool people, and I think people up in D.C. area, you ought to come down. It's great. I mean, some of the ex-players are there, and just a good time. The only burr I have in my saddle is that you're doing it late this year, and I don't know if you checked the schedules, but my Spiders play at 6 o'clock.
I know.
At home on the 29th.
I know, John. We'll get into Spiders preview early so you can get out to the game. I appreciate you saying that about Football Fest, man. Good to hear from you. And let me just let the audience in on it. So August 29th, last year, the Commanders sent Fred Smoot and Tim Hightower. We're hoping that they're going to be involved once again. We have locked in national NFL writer and reporter Mike Jones, Johnny Cakes Allville from the Sports Junkies, and Chris Russell will come to Richmond August 29th for Football Fest 4 Game Time. Appreciate you chiming in, Spider John. And here's the thing, Stephon Diggs, according to Underdog NFL, every team he has joined has won the division that year, and 3 of 4 have won a playoff game. Vikings in 2015, Bills in 2020, Texans in 2024. Even though he got hurt, yeah, they still won the division, and last year helped leading the Patriots all the way to the Super Bowl. And yeah, I mean, look, we could have waited. We could have waited and prayed that Antonio Williams pops or Luke McCaffrey becomes the dog that we need him to be. And instead, we said, yeah, we're going to bring in Diggs, answer that question about wide receiver 2, but also give some of these young guys an opportunity to be the players we want them to be. Let's go to Brian in Alexandria. Brian, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
What's up, AWOD? How's it going?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm good. So I'll start with my concerns, which one is a given, and that's JD's health. I think we all know that everything that we talk about, everything that we hope for is contingent upon that. So I won't dwell on that. But my other one is more so two unknowns, and that's what these coordinators can do as coordinators. Now, I'm hopeful. I'm believing the reports and everything, but it's still an unknown. And one thing with coordinators who haven't called games, what we may have to be patient for is some growing pains. So they both are talented by all accounts. They both have been around. They know what they're doing, obviously. But when it comes to calling plays and those nuances in games in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, we might have to allow some grace for some growing pains for them to learn. Now, hopefully it's not a lot. Hopefully they don't amount to losses, but I do think we need to account for that.
Yeah, now, I agree. So Brian, of those two coordinators are you more concerned about? Which of the two coordinators are you more concerned about?
If I had to pick, I'm going to say Blau, even though he's like the newest boy wonder, just because he, maybe less experienced than Jones in terms of coaching, and he has a lot of new moving pieces that he'll have to, like, incorporate in terms of Chig and in terms of Biggs and then whoever else, you know, rises to the depth chart. And then he has a delicate task in guiding a young Jaden Daniels into being the type of quarterback that he and we need him to be. Yeah. So it's a lot of moving parts with that. But great question. The other thing, thanks for the time. The other thing I wanted to say, now what I'm hopeful in AWOD is this. I really believe, especially with the addition of Diggs, that the collective talent that we now have, and I'm not saying we have like a ton of blue chippers, but we are, I think, better and faster than we were last year. And what I think is going to happen is the collective talent and competitiveness is going to make everyone raise their level of play. So, like, we know what Terry can do, but he hasn't had a guy like Diggs. Terry is a competitor. He's going to want to show that he's on Diggs' level. He's going to bring it. Our defensive back, for example, they haven't had an Owe and a Chase on. So hopefully if they do what we're hoping they can do, they won't have to guard players for as long. Aluvu hasn't had anybody as fast as Chennault and Styles. So I'm just hoping and thinking and predicting that the collective talent will raise the collective talent, if you will.
Yeah, no, great call. Appreciate you chiming in. And I think Adam Peters deserves a lot of credit for that. There's a lot of people that have been questioning him and his moves, and you're allowed to your opinion, and I do think that the evaluation time on Adam Peters is running out. Like, at the end of this season, if we're not an above 500 team, I'll be asking, did Adam Peters do what we expected him to do as general manager? The answer would be no, right? I told everyone last week, his job is to steady the ship, not rock the boat of 12-5 and 5-12. Commanders fans, Skins fans in this area have dealt with the up and downs for three straight decades. I just dropped my microphone because I'm so pissed talking about how much failure we've had throughout my entire life, over and over and over again. And so for Adam Peters, simply right the ship and get us above 500 two consecutive seasons. How about two consecutive playoff berths for the first time in my lifetime? That's what I'm going to be hoping for. And in 2024, we said, well, this should be the least talented group that Jaden Daniels plays with. Turns out that wasn't true in 2025. I think it's true again this season. The collective group is so much more talented than they were last year. It's AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Happy Saturday, everybody. Live and local here on The Fan. Saturday, August 8th, just after 11:30 a.m., my buddy Nick Ashew, Mr. Hollywood, takes over after me at 12 noon here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. Doesn't appear that any Commanders players have gone to the podium yet. Chris Russell, our buddy from Team 980, is reporting it was a long practice, 2 hours and 10 minutes in the heat with a water break. He said Stephon Diggs looked good with a couple of catches. I love it. It is absolutely time to ramp things up because next week is game week, right? We've got Monday, Tuesday practice, day off tomorrow. All right, rest your body, get ready for Monday, Tuesday. And then Wednesday, joint practice with the Miami Dolphins, the best evaluation period for Dan Quinn and his coaching staff. Friday, Northwest Stadium, preseason game one against the Miami Dolphins. So I love long practice today, absolutely time to ramp things up. It's a sprint through training camp with the regular season right around the corner. We're asking the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. What's your biggest concern for the Washington Commanders right now? For weeks, it was wide receiver two. Now what are you going to say with Stephon Diggs in the building and looking sharp with his few practices starting a Commanders uniform? I got a tweet that from Jaden DeTerry. It says, AWOD, my biggest concern is teams picking on Mikey Sammersdale. What can we say this defense is going to be with the corners with pressure, but when pressure doesn't get there, quick developing plays, Mikey might get exposed. Seems like he lost some confidence last year. How has he looked in camp? I do think that there's probably some truth to that, that maybe he did lose some confidence last season. You know, there were some spots in the man-to-man where I was concerned with seeing him trailing guys when he's supposed to be faster than them. I don't think he has looked out of this world at training camp. I think Rasul Douglas has probably been the best corner. I do think Amik Robertson is kind of pushing him as a guy that has experience, a smaller guy that's feisty as well. But I'm not overly concerned about Mikey Sainristil. I do think that the team probably wants Trey Amos to be CB1 and maybe Douglas to be CB2 and allow Mikey to play more inside. But I don't know what the plan is for him fully defensively, and you know, this is another defensive coordinator getting to work with him. We'll see what Durante Jones decides the best way to use Mikey Sainristil is this season. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. Juan in Fairfax. What's up, Juan?
Hi, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, I am worried about the offensive line, but then I'm not. And I'm going to tell you why I am worried. I want to be able to make sure the backup for Nick Allegretti can make all the calls, can hold his blocks how he needs to hold his blocks when the run game. I'm worried about the run game. That's what I'm really worried about. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure the backup can do his job when Nick Allegretti is not in there. Now, while I'm not worried is because now we got Stephon Diggs. You know how it's not going to take long for Jaden Daniels to get the ball out of his hands.
Right.
The ball's going to be snapped, and in 2 seconds, the ball's going to be out of his hands because we have Stephon Diggs. If we did not have Stephon Diggs, I'll be completely worried about the offensive line. You know what I'm saying? Now, the main position that I'm really worried about is the kicker position. I want to be able to get a kicker that can kick 60-plus yards. The Cowboys have that.
Yeah.
The Washington Commanders do not have that. We need a kicker that can kick 60-plus yards. So, you know what I'm saying, when the game's on the line, let's say his dad's on a 60-yard field goal or whatever, we know that he can make it without a problem, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what my main worry is. It is the kicker position.
Yeah, and those are valid concerns, Juan. They really are. Good call. Appreciate you chiming in. I'll start with the kicking position. I was kind of covering it this week at training camp. I think Stevens has had a slight edge over Moody. The reports were today that Moody missed a couple. Stevens did not miss. He has the deeper leg. But here's the positive part is that there's competition at that position that will play out over the next month, and the top guy will rise to the top. And we will have a stronger kicker, I do believe, than we did have last season. At this time. So I like that there's competition there. I will say it does feel like Stevens might have the upper hand right now. And with Jaden Daniels, I love how he's talking about Jaden Daniels is going to get the ball out of his hands quick and on time. And I believe that what made the off-script plays so effective in 2024 with Jaden Daniels, they were few and far between. And I say the same thing about what made Russell Wilson so effective for a long time in Seattle. He would get rid of the ball on time and quick and hit his weapons, and then every once in a while, the big play where he runs around in the pocket for 6 or 7 seconds and makes a guy, you know, miss and then keeps the play alive and finds someone downfield. And for Jaden Daniels in 2025, I thought he tried to do that too often. And probably part of that is seeing the scoreboard and your team's down 14-0, or your team's down 10-0, or your team's down 7-0. And it felt like Jaden Daniels was always playing from behind when he was out there last season. So the Diggs signing, I really think, will help with the timing on script plays to then give Jaden the ability every once in a while to hold the ball more, run around the pocket and make a big play happen. I think he needs to do more of the, hey, quick hitters to then the defense will not be expecting it when he has one of his kind of, you know, Superman-type plays that there were just way too many of last season in my mind. Let's go to Luke in D.C. Luke, you're on the fan with AWOD. What's up, dude?
What's up, AWOD? Yo, so I'm not actually concerned about the left guard center position anymore. I'm going to tell you why. I honestly think that that we addressed that today or yesterday, whenever we signed those guards and centers. I think honestly, I'm worried about the corner position. I'm worried about because if Trey Amos is hurt for a long time, Rasul Douglas is going to be good, right? But if he gets hurt, who's gonna replace him? I mean, I'm not concerned about the center left guard position. I think we're doing a Billy Beane special here, three players replacing one type of thing. But I think honestly,
corners should be a big concern, Luke.
Yeah.
So let me talk about that for a second, man. Yeah, great call, Luke. I'll always love to hear from you. So. I think you're right to be concerned about corner. I am concerned about corner. Trey Amos wasn't out there at first, and then he was out there, and now apparently he might have suffered a small injury today and went back to the locker room. It's something to keep an eye on. It's never good news when you sign a veteran in Witherspoon, who I was kind of starting to get excited for, and then he retires. He retires. And so you had to sign Fabian Monroe. So I think there is right to be concerned about corner, but I think what Adam Peters will tell you and what most NFL coaches will tell you is the best help the corner can have is a strong pass rush. And I think we do have that now with the Dafe Owe, with Kalavon Chase on, with maybe Luvu and Sonny Styles or Leo Chenal as blitzers up the middle as well. And we're going to have depth with Dorrance Armstrong working his way back and Emin Yehu, who's gotten some run at defensive tackle. So I think you're right to have a concern with corner, but hopefully an improved edge rusher, an improved pass rush overall gives them, you know, less time to have to follow around some of these big threat weapons at wide receiver in the National Football League. More of your calls next. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We're talking football on the air. The Commanders were on the practice field just about 30 minutes ago. It was a long training camp practice today for week 2, day 8. Time to ramp it up. Day off tomorrow, and then Monday, Tuesday, and the Miami Dolphins will be here Wednesday. Joint practice in Ashburn with preseason game 1 in sight next Friday night at Northwest Stadium. It's AWOD on the Fan, and we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app downloaded today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at AUDACY. AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, then pick up right where you left off. Search 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. We had AWOD on the road, Ashburn, for Commanders training camp, and I wanted to play a couple of clips from the press conference where I spoke with Dan Quinn, not because it's AWOD asking the question, but because I've seen these answers from Dan Quinn all over social media. People have really liked what Dan Quinn had to say, mentioning Jayden Daniels and his superpower is? Well, let's take a listen.
What did you like from what you saw from Jayden Daniels in the red zone work yesterday?
I think the thing that's not just specific to the red zone, but even this part of camp, it's the location of the throw. And so it's one of his superpowers is the accuracy, but during zone, you know, if the defender's to this side, do I put it away to maximize some run after catch opportunities? So he has the ability to pinpoint the ball into the right location. So he's always had that trait. Now in a new system, can he even elevate that further? So that's the command that I'm looking for from those spots, and that's the thing I would say right now that's so impressive to me. There was a deep ball to Terry that was completed just in probably the best location that went over Mike into that location. So that's not luck, you know, and that's super hard to do, but like the amount of unseen work to have that throw, you know, is evident.
The amount of unseen work to have that throw is evident. It's not luck. his superpower is accuracy. As you know, the conversation has been dominated by some of the weapons that Jaden Daniels has at his disposal in the defensive side of the ball. You know, Jaden Daniels is still having a heck of a training camp. And, you know, I wasn't there the first week, and I heard the offense got off to a rocky start, including Terry McLaurin telling the media, hey, we lost today. We got to be better tomorrow. But what I saw Monday, red zone work, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week in Ashburn, Jaden Daniels is very much going to, I think, prove to everyone that he belongs in that top 10 quarterback rankings list once again. The speed is evident, but the accuracy is there. The arm strength, the on time of the aspect of the offense looked a lot better. I complained about it on my show on Monday. I thought, you know, Dan Quinn blew the whistle for 3 or 4 sacks. I didn't want to talk about that. I wanted to talk about Jaden Daniels making plays. But Tuesday, I thought he was lighting it up with lasers everywhere, and there weren't any whistles blown for a sack. And then Wednesday, I thought it was his best day. And I mean, I thought he had a dart to Terry McLaurin and a great pass to Treylon Burks. And so, yeah, we were talking about some of the weapons, but Jaden Daniels, still a superstar. Let that be clear. I asked Dan Quinn about Jeremy Reeves, who I think some fans might be surprised to see him start at safety week one. I think that could absolutely happen because they love him as a communicator.
Jeremy Reeves has been with you and played different positions. What have you seen from him at safety and how he's improved?
Yeah, Adam, his communication skills are elite as a, you know, as a ball player, as a teammate on the field and off. So much of what we're doing kind of goes through our communication hub at linebackers and safety. So seeing he and Frankie and others, you know, what do we want to get to? What would that look be? He's an initiator of so many good things about how we talk through. He sets incredible standards, you know, for effort and speed. And so he, we could use a hell of a lot more of Jeremy Reeves. You know, he's just a remarkable teammate, player, and so yeah, he's definitely making his presence felt on defense more so, you know, than maybe he has, you know, in the previous 2 years.
Elite communicator, incredible standards, right? I'm so inspired by Jeremy Reeves, and you heard my conversation with him earlier in the show. Like, he could have just been a special team star and played well in Washington, maybe taking good money to go somewhere else, but he stayed in Washington and kind of told the coaching staff last year, like, hey, I want to compete in defense. And he mentioned this is year 9 for Jeremy Reeves, and he's now getting a chance to compete for a starting spot on the defensive side of the ball. Been an incredible special teams player. What kind of impact can he make as one of the starting 11 on the defensive side of the ball? I liked what I've seen from him at training camp. You know, you hear Dan Quinn talking about him, communication, but also he flies around the field. Like, the speed is there, and violence is what I remember from Jeremy Reeves last season for the Commanders. Let's go to the phone lines if you want to chime in. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD on the fan, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Vic in Accokeek. What's up, Vic? How are you?
What's up, AWOD?
What's up, dude?
So, let's get right to it. I am concerned about us at corner, our depth at corner, you know, with injuries. I'm not concerned talent at the top, more or less, but just with injuries and who will have to step. Where I feel the imbalance is out for me, if I'm nitpicking and finding something to be concerned about, if it's where my balance comes in at, is our defensive back. See why I say that. So JV is not JV football, high school football.
Vic, I'm sorry, man. You're cutting out too much, dude. I love when you chime in and you tell us your stories about coaching. I'm not hanging up on you because of anything you did wrong. I just am having trouble hearing you. And here, I will say, though, I understand you having a concern about the depth at defensive back, right? Like, I agree. I talked about this earlier. I'm really, maybe it's because I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic, but I do think the defensive line is so much better that even if the corners are at the same level they were last year, that we should be able to get more stops, get more turnovers, and get off the field quicker because we're creating more negative plays. Like last year, we just couldn't create a negative play to save our life, right? The offense was going against us, explosive play, explosive play, explosive play. Like, how many times last year did teams not even face third downs against Washington getting down the field? First down, second down, first down, first down, over and over again. And so I think the biggest reason why was because we couldn't create the negative plays. You know, 2 years ago, Frankie Louvu had like seven tackles for loss. That evaporated last year. You know, we as a team, that dropped the number of sacks significantly, and we're led by a 30% snap guy in Von Miller. That's awful last year at rushing the passer. So an improved rushing the passer, improved stopping the run should help the secondary, but you're right to have that concern. I'm excited that Antonio Hamilton Sr. is here for another training camp. You know, not that he's a star or anything, but I liked what I saw from him last year, and I like the way he's been feisty at training camp so far. You know, we do need Rasul Douglas. Like that it looks like that was a great signing. And I know, you know, that might have just been because Amos wasn't ready to start training camp, but Douglas has been probably the best corner that I've seen so far, with Mikey Samer still and Meek Robertson right behind him. Appreciate everybody listening to the show today. Thanks to Metal Chris running the ones and twos. Always great to be able to talk football on the air while there's football on the field. A long practice today for the Washington Commanders, reported of over 2 hours on the practice field, including a hydration break, as this is the ramp it up period with the first preseason game in sight. Monday practice, Tuesday practice. AWOD will be in attendance, broadcasting live from Commanders training camp in Ashburn on 910 The Fan. Wednesday, joint practice with the Miami Dolphins before Friday Night Lights Northwest Stadium to kick off the preseason for the 2026-2027 Washington Commanders. Closing out the show one more time here with the biggest names that popped to me at training camp. I'm going to go down the list real quick. Jaden Daniels, Rashad White. Rashad White was very impressive at running back. Terry McLaurin, Treylon Burks are the two that I'll mention at wide receiver. I'm obsessed with Chig Okonkwo. I understand the fan base is obsessed with him now as well. Like, what I saw from him was the best tight end play we've had in Washington since Jordan Reed. I cannot wait to see him this season. And then defensively, I'll call out Owe, Styles, Chaisson, and Rasul Douglas. As well as my guy Jeremy Reeves. I think he's the ultimate leader, sets incredible standards, and he's a guy that people can look up to in the locker room. You've been listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Mr. Hollywood, Nick Ashew, is coming up next.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.